lot of wacky, weird, unique things have happened in the KCUR studios since the show Central Standard was born. From a live ferret, to a hula hooping, to Tuvan throat singing, to a show where we simply ask, what's the deal with milk? But one of my favorites was a highlight from last year when we covered the Lawrence Busker Festival, when a strong woman named Mama Lou came through and rolled a frying pan into the shape of a burrito and ripped a phone book in half. Let's listen back to this moment in radio history.
Uh-huh, she's into it now.
She's about 3 inches in now, Richard.
Yeah.
There you go.
6 inches.
There you go.
She's through the A through Zs, and she's going into the back half.
All right. We're through the plumbers and on to the zebras.
Yeah, it's over.
It's ripped in half.
We've got two phone books where we used to have one.
I'm Jabalani LaFall. More radio busking ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. From Union Square in New York City to Union Station in Kansas City. From the seaports in Boston, Massachusetts to Massachusetts Avenue in Lawrence, Kansas. You've seen these artists and their guitar case or their hat or their funny tricks. And you've seen the cup that wants your approval. Money that jingles or folds. These people are called buskers, street musicians or performers or weird trick ponies bringing public art to a public place. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. With us to discuss the 5th annual Lawrence Busker Festival coming up this weekend and the art of busking and what it is and what it really takes to bust out in the life of street performance is Richard Renner, Lawrence Busker Festival organizer. Welcome.
Thank you. And I would use the organizer term very loosely.
Okay, we will. But we also have a man known as Tom Selectomy, the sword swallower. And also Fred Grisbowski from the Pogo Dudes, which we will both find out more as the hour progresses. The Sword Swallower. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, you get the Tom Selectomy thing, right?
Tom Selectomy,
like tonsil, tons, Tom. Get it?
No.
It's very funny. I actually didn't. Really?
Yeah.
My wife didn't get it either. Actually, we knew each other for a number of years. And then we got together. We had been friends. We got together. And she was riding in a friend's van. And she was looking at my business card. And it said, Tom Selectomy. I wonder if he knows. She's a blonde lady.
Speaking of which, let's make like an ear, nose, and throat specialist and get into Tom Selectomy.
Sure.
Literally. Did you have your tonsils taken out?
No, I still have them. But at every show, I try and take them out so somebody can take them home as a souvenir. So far, it hadn't worked out. But someday.
Where did the name come from?
Tom Selectomy?
Right.
I started out doing Renaissance festivals in Michigan, and there was a fellow there who was already an established magician, and his name was Sir Riasis.
Wow.
Sir Riasis. So I went down the pun road with that because my dad had always been into puns, and Tom Selectomy was...
Not taken.
No. Who would want to be Tom Selectomy?
Surprisingly, not taken.
Exactly, because it's so witty and clever.
This is a question I've always wanted to ask. When did you first start eating swords?
When I start swallowing swords, well, I don't actually eat them. Like I told you before, I always take them back out. It's kind of a misnomer.
But you're not swallowing them either.
No.
Because you're not necessarily digesting them.
I start out just a quick story, because stories are kind of what I do.
Swords in your mouth. When did it start?
Let me know. I start every show with a question and answer thing with the audience. And I was doing a show once, and this little kid, it was kind of a little punky guy, you know, little hurry, hurry, do it. And he said he thought it was fake. And I said, what do you think? You think they fold up? And he said, no. I said, fake throat? And he said, no. And I was kind of left hanging. So I said, well, what do you think? And the kid said, I don't think they're sharp. So I said what I always say, which is they're not sharp because you can't swallow a sharp sword more than once, of course. And without skipping a beat, this kid, as snotty as he could, the little punky said, well, then you ought to call it metal stick swallowing.
But you don't want to call it that.
So there you go. We're back to it's not even swallowing, and they're just metal sticks. I don't even know why I do it.
And they're not even really swords.
No, I know. I guess when I was on the circus in about 19, I didn't know what else to do, so I started shoving them down my throat.
But Tom Selectomy makes up for that. What is the trick to metal sticks down your throat?
Well, actually...
Or sword swallowing?
Actually, it's all fake. I'm living a lie.
Right.
No.
Because you have a shirt on with the name Jeff on it right now.
I do. I'm Jeff, but I'm Tom. I'm a multifaceted creature. But anyway, the trick to sword swallowing is really there's no trick. It's the same way they put tubes down people in a throat, tubes down people's throats in a hospital. Once your head is back, it's just a straight shot down the esophagus. You just have to be dumb enough to give it a shot, and that was me.
Speaking of dumb enough to give it a shot, ever a time when it didn't work out?
I've only had minor accidents as far as injuries and stuff like that, but that is why most people watch. It's like watching NASCAR and rooting for the walls. My biggest faux pas, and I was telling one of the pogo guy here, Fred, about this earlier, is that I was doing shows in North Carolina once, and sword swallowing is really all about controlling the gag reflex. It's really just focusing to do that. And I wasn't focused enough at this one show, and I got the sword about halfway down my throat and realized that I wasn't really focused enough. And all this, tried to pull it out real quick, but it was too late, and just all over myself and the stage. And then the woman...
Wait. Meaning?
I threw up.
While swallowing a sword.
Which is a shame, because when you're a sword swallower, your whole job is to not throw up. And I'd failed pretty much at that point. But anyway, there was a lady in the front row, and she said, "Is that part of the show?" Like, I just give and give, you know? No.
Was it part of the show?
No.
Will it be part of the show?
I certainly hope not. But I think people should scoot back a little bit, because it can be like watching Shamu.
In what respect?
The splash zone. I like your literal take on the world. It's good.
Speaking of literal takes, how do you set up for putting a sword in your mouth?
What do I do, actually?
Yeah.
Well, you can't
see
it. You
say a chant?
You can't see it on radio, but I actually, and I didn't realize I did this. It's been pointed out to me over the years, and if you watch the show at Lawrence Busker Festival, or any place else I do it, I guess.
Or you're listening right now.
You'll see that I actually do a little bit of a dance before I swallow the swords. Audience members, fans affectionately refer to it as the potty dance because it's kind of a side shuffle. I guess it's just a nervous habit, and it's part of how I get my mind together to shut off the gag reflex. But
nothing to do with referring to regurgitation earlier.
No.
No pottying.
No pottying. No. No. Although often I don't go to the restroom prior to the show so that the show has that sense of urgency.
Okay.
There you have it.
You have, sir, and I've always wanted to say this too, a flaming sheath for your sword.
Thank you for noticing. I do. My wife actually made these because I'm actually, again, my show is very, it's been described as one of my favorite descriptions of my show. It's less like a big show, and it's more like you're just kind of sitting on a couch, listening to the stories of some guy who does weird stuff. So I'm not very flashy, so my wife wanted me to have flash, so she made these containers for the swords that are all fire printy and stuff like that.
So, without further ado, let me see a sword.
But that's what the sword looks like.
Wow.
I know, it's a sword.
Sort of like a small Renaissance-era Spanish fencer sword.
Yea, verily, in sooth, saith I, forthwith, hitherto, yea, speaketh. That's all the Renaissance I have.
I woke up saying those words this morning.
Really? Came right out.
I did. So it's, describing it to the audience, it's longer than a dagger, but shorter than a fencing sword.
Right.
More powerful than a locomotive as well.
Swallowing a sword, the sword you can swallow can't be any longer, of course, than the bottom of your stomach, unless you're willing to push, and most audiences aren't worth that.
Right.
what you do, actually, to find out the length of sword you can swallow is you swallow a full-length sword, because swords, as a rule, are pretty long. You swallow a full-length sword, then you measure the distance from your lips up to the hilt, and then that's how much you cut off at the bottom, because then you know that that's the distance you can swallow.
So you have a ruler as you put a full-length sword in your mouth.
Well, I think I just kind of used like a Sharpie or something. I put the sword down my throat and used the Sharpie to mark where it was at my lips, if you follow, and then whatever the distance was from that mark to the hilt is what I then cut off at the bottom end of the sword.
Leveraged to the hilt.
Yes.
So, set it up for us. Let's do it.
You want me to swallow a sword?
Aren't you a sword swallower?
Well, it's radio. I've already done it 50 times, but nobody saw. There's one in my throat right now.
Well, we have...
No, I would love to swallow a sword.
We have Richard Renner of the Lawrence Busker Festival here, along with Tom Selectomy, the sword swallower. Not sword eater, we should point
sword
that out.
Swallow.
Sword swallower.
Put her
also,
in there and take her out.
Also known as... Jeff. Simply as Jeff.
Simply Jeff. Not even a last name.
Flaming sheath, Renaissance-style sword. Let's make it happen.
Now, what I'd like to do is I'm actually going to take off my headphones, and I'm going to come over there towards you, and I'm going to swallow the sword, and you're going to pull it out of my throat.
Of course.
Because that's the way things work.
This is what's happening. So can we get some color commentary from Richard Renner?
Sure.
What's happening here?
I did this
what
last year for Mama Lou.
With the sword swallowing?
Okay, Jeff is putting the sword over his head, and it's in his mouth. It's going
in.
Down his throat. Now he's going to click his fingers.
He's holding it.
And it drops all the way in.
Down,
he's bending over
almost.
At the waist, and John Belani is pulling it straight out.
I am a weird, erotic King Arthur.
He had a pretty disgusting look on his face when he was pulling that
yeah,
sword out, too.
I think Bill just captured it, too.
I wonder what you'll be king of now.
Right. Indeed. Let's switch gears a little bit, because you have to switch gears after you pull
that,
a sword out of a man's mouth.
Yeah, he needs a breath mint, too. So
maybe.
Tastes
maybe.
Tinny.
Little mercury feel, little metallic.
I have to eat a lot of antioxidants.
He's not iron deficient, though.
Very sharp.
I like this guy.
We got
like
the point.
Yeah,
like
that was a cutting remark.
It's not a gag.
Stop it.
Let's stop.
Why did people stop listening to that?
Pull out another sword on
this
you.
This will be the last show we do.
What is busking, Richard Renner?
What is busking? Well,
is it what this guy just did?
Yeah. Well, that's actually a part of it. It's gathering a crowd for no apparent reason. And doing some sort of skill or show, and then asking for money afterwards. And one thing I like to point out is, what other kind of entertainment do you go see where they actually ask you to pay after it's done? How many times have you
gone?
I don't
think you can mention that on air.
Sure, you can. Yeah, how many times have you gone to a show and then at the end say, you know, I really shouldn't have paid that? Well, that doesn't happen here.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. I just pulled a sword out of a man's mouth after he just ate the sword. We're talking about the upcoming Lawrence Busker Festival, the street performance, art, and lives of street artists, literally playing for booking fees as you walk by them. We have on our show today Richard Renner, who wants to keep Lawrence weird and has a shirt that says he's keeping Lawrence weird. He's the organizer of the Busker Festival. We have Tom Selectomy, who puts swords down his throat. So don't really know where those metaphors come from. Tom Selectomy, a.k.a. Jeff with a G. And we have Fred from the Pogo Dudes, who is sitting here in utter disgust. Let's talk more about busking.
Okay.
When did you start this festival in Lawrence? And what are you looking at doing differently as the fifth year gets underway?
We started 5 years ago in 2008. And what I want to do differently is just make it bigger, just make it more fun, bring in more odder and unusual performers, and just really get it going. Yeah, including Tom over here and definitely Fred. But what I would like is for it to get more of acclaim around the world, perhaps in the performing community and things like that, and get Lawrence noticed as a good street performing area.
I'd just like to say that I perform at busking festivals all over the world. I've been to the World Street Performing Championships in Dublin and things like that. And this is really one of the only ones in the United States. And from our end, it's really nice. I was here last year also, and the audiences were, and not just speaking financially, the audiences were so welcoming and received the show so well and fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about busking festivals. The performers do. The neat thing about doing festivals as opposed to just doing street performing in, say, Covent Garden or someplace like that in London is that when you go to a festival, you just start putting out your stuff and you don't have to gather a crowd. The people come just ready, waiting for it. And it was amazing to see that happening at a busking festival where busking isn't known in the United States. It was amazing to see it at a busking festival in the United States. Last year, the people, they're just ready. They bring their lawn chairs, whatever. They're ready to go. It's just a fantastic festival.
Well, thank you.
You have brought with you a very famous 1980s and 1990s rapper. And for those who don't know, Hammer.
Yes.
You brought a hammer.
I like the way your introduction
along
really
with,
threw me off.
Along with a nail. It threw everybody off. They weren't ready for that.
Who's with me?
They weren't ready for that.
I thought I was only two people.
You're kind of de-rapping too, aren't you, Tom?
So, hammer.
Yeah, there's a hammer.
A hammer and a nail. What are you going to do with that?
I do other things with that.
Are you not going to touch it?
I'm not touching it now.
What do you do with it?
What do you think I might do with that?
What are you going to do with the hammer and the nail?
It's kind of a different thing. It's another sideshow thing. It kind of fits in with a little bit of the show. This is actually the way I finish my show. I start with it too, kind of. I do it differently. I do it with a drill at the beginning of the show. because wow. I like to do the most disturbing thing first, kind of weed out the weak stuff.
An actual drill, or do you dress up in a military uniform and tell people what to do?
I do some drills, left, right, left, right. No, a drill.
An actual drill.
Yes, but it's a hand crank drill, actually.
An okay.
Old-timey one. So this is what I do with this. I wish that your the lady who's doing the producing stuff, I wish she was actually in here so we could hear her, because this would be great. I can see the look on her face. She's what I'm after.
I'm going to set it up. We have a hammer. He has a
nail. 20-penny nail.
20-penny nail facing his face, about to hammer directly into his nose. And we have the shriek from our producer. I'm looking at it. You nailed it.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah, you might think it's fake, but it's not.
No, you're talking. Right, 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 of course. And he just put the nails out his nose. This is why we get, and put it in his mouth.
Well, I have to keep it clean.
This is what we live for in radio land here. So any advice, Tom Selectomy / hammer?
About sword swallowing?
/ nail nose?
Well, sword swallowing.
For someone who walks up to you and says, you know what? I want to swallow me up a sword.
Well, sword swallowing is really not something you should try at home. And you should never put anything in your nose either, unless you're in your own car where nobody can see you. And only your finger.
Right.
My wife gets really tired of cleaning out of the front seat.
Right. Charlie Sheen can tell us that.
I wouldn't know that.
Right.
Oh, wow. He and I have something in common.
No swords. Nothing up your nose.
No swords. Actually, there are very few sword swallowers because it's a horrendously unpleasant thing to learn. It's
acid
not like
refluxes.
There are no other sword swallowers. There are quite a few. But
acid reflux is probably a problem as well, right?
You know, honestly, if I don't do shows for about a month, I do start to get some acid reflux. And what I do is I go out in the backyard and swallow a sword because the muscle all the way down has become used to being used for things. I mean, you use yours too, of course, to eat. But it's become so it needs it every so often.
So do you ever get tempted to say, you know what, forget Metamucil, forget any antacids, forget any of that stuff. Go out in your backyard, swallow a sword. That'll get rid of that acid reflux.
I don't really think I'm qualified to offer that kind of advice.
Okay. Is Jeff qualified to do it? If tonsillectomy is not?
Jeff doesn't like to talk about it.
Jeff doesn't like to talk about it. Who are you right now? Are you Jeff or are you tonsillectomy?
I'm the dude that's playing the dude that's playing another dude.
Right. Right. So how do you mix up your performances? I mean, you obviously have a hammer and a nail, which you hammer into your face, a sword, which you cram down your throat. How do you top yourself? How do you mix it up?
My show, honestly, really, the sword swallowing, I always wanted to be a juggler, and I'm a pretty fair juggler. But when I was starting out, I realized that everybody's a juggler, and there are very few sword swallowers. So I picked sword swallowers just as the hook. So the sword swallowing is what makes people stop by to see the show. But really, my show is just it's a storytelling show. I tell stories of incidents and mishaps that have occurred in shows and just with the traveling of doing this. I've been doing this for a living for just about 24 years, so I have quite a few stories. 24 years, I know, and this is pretty much where it's gotten me.
You've been swallowing swords for 24 years.
Yes, sir. I used to be a circus clown before that. I went to Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey Clown College. It's the only higher education I ever went to. My daughter right now just started her second year at Cornell on a full-ride scholarship for physics. She's not really following in the old man's footsteps.
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, though.
What?
Right.
That's why you're not in Cornell.
We didn't learn how to clown college. Right. We learned how to throw pies and things like that.
So does she say my dad is a sword swallower?
I bet she never brings it up.
Definitely not at frat houses. Whoa.
Hey.
Whoa. So, the Lawrence Busker Festival, how do you even, what's the criteria? Do you hold auditions? Do you do requests for proposals? Do you say whoever can swallow a sword?
We do have a spot on the website that has people, if they want to perform, they can apply. But it is all up to my discernment, and I'm happy to say that. Yeah, they have to meet a certain expectation I have for oddities and just be a good performer, too.
Well, I think we've reached that with Jeff, a.k.a. Tom Selectomy. What was it like first meeting this guy?
First meeting him? Well, I thought he was a valet parker at first, and I gave him the keys to my car.
Costuming is not my
thing. I know, exactly. but then eventually I realized, oh, okay, this is my sword swallower here. And
eventually, how did you realize that?
He introduced himself, and then he had this really odd luggage with him, and that
and I sneezed and the nail flew out and shot somebody. There was a horrible lawsuit,
right.
Still not settled.
I know. He never uses an air hammer.
No.
No, he doesn't need to.
How do you place the buskers up along the street? Do you place them by prominence? Do you place them by safety considerations?
Well,
or
know,
do they just set up?
I am the guy that does that. We have three, sometimes four different pitches, they're called. They're not called stages. And I try to mix things up together so it has a nice mix in each area of musicians and variety artists and stuff like that. And Jeff, Tom, I have over on the 10th Street stage with a couple of our local performers, Luna Breeze and Jason Devod, who are jugglers and hula hoop dancers and things like that. And I thought, you know, well, these guys can learn something from old Tom here. So.
They'll be so sorry.
What exactly can they learn from Mr. Thompson?
Well, he's got 24 years of experience there, and they've got maybe five or seven, so I'm sure there'll be some stories being told. And, you know, maybe we'll walk away with a hula hoop sword swallowing dancer someday.
That would be something.
I've been trying to walk away with one of those forever.
Oh,
yeah.
Try the salmon, right? Right? You'd be here all week?
Yes, sir.
Literally. Literally. So why did you decide to say, you know what, I'm not going to be a clown anymore. I'm going to stop clowning around. I'm going to swallow a sword. You said you started out as a clown.
Yeah, well, I was a circus clown in 1987 and 1986 on a big tent show that played in the South and the East, Clyde B. Cole Brothers. It was $126 a week. Not a big thing. Plus, you know, the room, which was a little cubby hole in the back of a semi-truck.
And a company car?
And no, company car. Yeah, there was one company car, but we all had to ride in it. Clown reference. Clown.
I was leading you there. Clown. You know I was.
See, I need to be led.
Right.
Obviously, I'm a wayward soul. But anyway, so the circus was just, I mean, it was great fun as a kid, but it was just a grind. And I had always wanted to do my own thing. I went to my first Renaissance Festival when I was 13 and saw the performers, and I knew right away. And it's being a performer was just a singular goal ever since then. Never strayed from it, never. It's what I always wanted to do.
But what made you make that leap from clowning to falling on your sword?
I had to take one for the team.
Right.
I don't know why. I guess
you don't know
the thing
after
is,
24 years. That's very interesting.
Well, no, what I'm going to say is I know I'm still a little caught up with the – I should have aimed a little bit higher. But I still am a clown. I mean, I when people watch my show, other performers and stuff like that, they watch it, and it is clowning. It's hard to explain because you think of sword swallowing being presented in the, oh, this is going to be so dangerous, so disgusting, you'll never be able to watch anything again. But that's just not my way. I'm just the guy who got stuck with a weird job. And it's, oddly enough, my sword swallowing show goes over fantastically for kids, which is strange, but just something about the way I present it in a very clown-like personality, a lot of big movements, goofy faces. I just can't help the way I am.
How are you able to tell jokes? I hear you tell jokes with a sword in your mouth. How
I don't actually, not with a sword in my throat.
You don't tell jokes with a sword in your throat?
The actual sword swallowing of the show probably lasts maybe 15 seconds out of 45 minutes.
So then you tell jokes and...
Jokes and stories and you interact with the audience. I wanted to say earlier, that's one of the amazing things about busking and about a busking festival is that you come along and there's a street corner and there's nothing happening at all. And all of a sudden, one of us puts out our stuff and gathers a crowd around. And for a half hour, 45 minutes, everybody's there and everybody's enjoying things. And it's an interactive kind of a theater thing where the people are a part of it. And then when the show is done, it totally disappears. The people aren't on the street corner anymore. You're not there. It's just amazing. Busking is making something out of nothing.
Speaking of making something out of nothing, Richard, busking is based entirely on improvisation. How do you keep it fresh in the context of organizing it?
Well, I keep bringing in new acts and things like that, obviously. But also, we try out different, presentations throughout the festival. Like, we're going to have a busker ball tonight, which is actually an indoor stage theater show for people to come in, and we'll have drinks and food and tickets, and they can see everybody all at once if that's what they like.
I won't have drinks because a drunk sword swallower is a bad idea.
Yes. Yeah, he'll be drinking heavily afterwards. So.
Drunk sword swallower is a very bad idea.
Might be fun to watch.
You know, you were asking me asking Tom how he got started, and actually what he told me is at one point he had a choice of being an investment banker or a sword swallower, and he chose sword swallowing because it had less risk.
And with that, our guests are Richard Renner, the Lawrence Busker Festival organizer. We also have Tom Selectamy, who just swallowed a sword and just nailed a nail into his nose on live radio.
Guilty as charged.
And we have Fred from the Pogo Dudes with a disgusted look on his face, but we'll find out what he thinks about what he just saw, as well as how long he's been jumping up and down on a pogo stick and delighting the likes of David Letterman. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, more about the Lawrence Busker Festival. Stick around. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. They're not dancing in the street, not just dancing in the street, not just putting swords down their throats, not just jumping on pogo sticks or ripping phone books in halves or lighting their tongues on fire. They're performing for themselves, for you, for your adulation, for their own development, for their art. They're called buskers. And you'll see some this weekend at the Lawrence Busker Festival. Our guests are Richard Renner, the Lawrence Busker Festival organizer. We also had Tom Selectamy, the sword swallower. And you brought it down to the last nail.
Yeah.
In his face.
It's the same nail over and over again.
The same nail over and over.
The whole show is really the same over and over again. It's just if I ever get it right, I get to stop.
Let's turn from Tom Selectamy to Fred Grzybowski of the Pogo Dudes. What's up, man?
How's it going? It's good.
Apparently you. Up and down on
up
a pogo
and down,
stick.
Yeah, pogo sticking has its ups and downs.
It really does.
Really does. Bad puns all day.
Right. Tell us about the Pogo Dudes. How did it start?
We're an acrobatic stunt pogo show. We started out with just a bunch of friends that just pogo sticked as a hobby. We started on little small pogo sticks that jumped like 6 to 8 inches off the ground. But now we've graduated to high-performance pogo sticks that jump 6 to 7 feet off the ground, and we do tricks, flips, and all sorts of acrobatic stunts.
How did it evolve? But first, how did you decide to call yourself the Pogo Dudes?
Myself and two other friends of mine were filming a documentary just about pogo sticking. My buddy was doing it for college, and we were just hanging out, filming, and then crowds just kind of slowly gathered around, and we're like, we're kind of doing a show. But we didn't have a plan of doing a show, and it kind of just became just a natural thing. Like, why don't we try and do this for a living? This is what we love doing. People love watching us. Let's do a show together. And we just brainstormed ideas, and the Pogo Dudes was the best thing we could come up with.
The Pogo Dudes was the best thing you could come with. But you've expanded and sort of jumped into the stratosphere, so to speak, with your pogo sticks.
Exactly. Yeah. The last couple of years, we started as three guys. Now we have about eight guys on our team, the Pogo Dudes. But our show consists of three guys jumping up and down, jumping over each other, jumping over volunteers, flips, and some very dangerous stunts.
Jumping over cars.
I've jumped over a few cars in my day.
On a pogo stick.
Yes.
You were recently featured on a commercial during the Olympics. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did a spot for Nike on the Olympics. They had it set up two trailers, shipping containers, about 8 feet apart. I jumped from one, did a front flip over to the other one. It was pretty intense, really dangerous, and it actually made the cut for the commercial during the Olympics.
That's really cool. How did that feel?
It felt absolutely amazing, terrifying when I was doing it, but then just watching the Olympics and seeing the commercial come on was so gratifying. It was really amazing.
Did you get it done in one take, in one jump, or did you have to rehearse it?
I rehearsed it a little bit. I had them push the containers closer together, and I built up to it, so it was a little bit safe. But I almost killed myself twice because they can't get it in one shot. I had to do it like 30 times. So one time I came up a little bit short, came up right on the edge, and then like bounced away from it, and everyone's like a big gasp of air. Everyone thought I was going to die. And then the other time, because these are only like 8 feet wide, so I have to have pretty good accuracy. So I front flip across, land, and go flying off the side. And it was a couple close calls, but I mean, it comes with the territory.
What happened when you went flying off the side?
I was able to recover. Like the tip of the pogo stick, that's just, it's not that big, but I landed right on the corner, and then I was able to like push myself and land on the container. It's very close call. So I try not to do that, but our show, that's what we do in our show. We do big stunts. Sometimes they can go bad. That's what makes it really appealing.
Very agile. We have some of those moves, and we'll have some of those moves featured on KCUR.org, and you can see these moves in the Lawrence Busker Festival this weekend. your pogo stick is tricked out.
Yeah, it's not your grandparents' pogo sticks.
It sure isn't. What have you done? You added more torque? What have you done?
Well, pogo sticks traditionally have a steel spring. That's what everyone thinks. They think pogo stick, they think steel spring jumping 6 inches off the ground. But now pogo sticks have evolved. So now we have this is what I have right behind me, which you're looking at, is an air-powered pogo stick. So you pump it up with air using a normal bike pump to around 60, 70 PSI. And you have a long piston on it, foot pegs, handlebars. And now you're jumping 6, 7 feet in the air. So they've evolved, and it's absolutely amazing the stunts you can do with them.
Just to describe it to our listeners, it looks like somebody ripped the handlebars in the front end off of a Segway, right? Right? Is that the great way to describe it? And then added like a running board on a F-150 pickup truck. That's the flat part there. And then a cane at the bottom with a black peg at the bottom.
An easier description would be like, it looks like a jackhammer.
It does look like a jackhammer. A fancy jackhammer. A fancy jackhammer with a handlebar that looks
Fred
like a
hammer.
Segway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a jackhammer, and it looks like when it's heavy, they're about 15 pounds. So it's big, heavy machinery right there, and it flies. The world record is 9.5 feet over a bar.
Did the pogo dudes set that record?
The pogo dudes have that record.
Great. Have you ever been in a non-pogo jumping zone and pretended it was a jackhammer when cops came by?
Next time I'll have to try that. No, officer, it's all right. I'm just destroying the concrete with a jackhammer, not pogo sticking. It's all good. This is allowed. It's a great idea.
You had a dangerous episode in the land down under, so to speak. Tell us about it.
Yes. I was in Australia about a year and a half ago. I was touring around with a group called Nitro Circus. They're just motocross, BMX, like extreme sports tour. So I was hanging out with them. And the ring leader, Travis Pastrana, on the show called Hey, It's Saturday, decided to tell me to do one of my stunts, a double backflip.
Was it on Saturday?
It was not on Saturday. It was like a Thursday night.
But the show is called Hey, It's Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't ask. I didn't get it.
It's the other side of the dateline.
That's true.
It's down under.
Did the toilets also flush the other direction?
It did, and it's so weird.
No, really?
They really do. And it's very strange. You don't think of it as strange. You see it, and it's like, something's odd.
I have to swallow my swords in the other direction there, too.
Redirect. Tell us about Hey, It's Saturday.
So I'm on it, jumping around. I'm inside a studio, so the ceilings are low. And then Travis Pastrana just says, hey, yeah, Fred over here, he's a good pogo guy. Fred, give us a double backflip. I was not planning on doing that stunt. It's a very dangerous stunt. I kind of saved that one for the show. So I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, you got it. Just talk me into doing it on live TV. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll do it. So I throw a double backflip. It came up a little bit short. And since I wasn't planning on doing it, my shoes weren't tied tight. I didn't have my ankle braces on tight. So my shoes went flying off as soon as my feet touched the ground. And then I just slid out, smashed my face, broke my nose, stood up, blood's just dripping down everywhere, plugged my nose up with my thumb and finger, gave a good thumbs up, smiled, and walked off stage.
Wow.
But that's not it.
That's not it.
That's not it. So 2 weeks later, they actually invited me back on the show to redeem myself. The whole crew of Nitro Circus came on, did a big segment, and it came to me. It was like, all right.
To redeem yourself?
Redeem myself. I was like, all right, you broke your nose. Here it is. Your chance to shine. Show us you can do this stunt. I'm like, I got this. So I was ready. I was outside, not in the studio. So outside, clear opening, nothing to worry about. I'm just thinking, don't under-rotate. Don't break your nose again. So I over-rotated. Went flying back onto my butt and broke my wrist.
Wow.
And
wow.
They invited me to go back on again. And
you
said,
were like, no.
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 No
not
way.
At all.
Yeah.
Because the third time might not have been a charm.
Yeah, so that was my experience. Hey, it's Saturday. In Australia, but I mean, it happens. It comes to the territory. We're doing an extreme sport. It's not your ordinary pogo sticks. It's an extreme sport, and just like any other extreme sport, it can get dangerous.
I'm gonna ask a follow up question to that. On the second appearance on Hey, It's Saturday.
Yes.
Was it Saturday?
It was not Saturday again. I really don't get the show. It was.
I think
never
we found
on
the
Saturday.
Real problem here.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Something's off with the
space-time
continuum.
Something was off and throwing me off. And I've had a couple other injuries throughout the year doing this. But, I mean, that's my worst from, like, one show.
And you don't wear any protective gear, so.
We wear helmets sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, helmets, ankle braces.
When it's required.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, most of the falls you're going to have from a pogo stick aren't on your face. Like more like ankles, knees sort of thing. So, I mean, the helmet's good practice. I've landed on my face quite a few times.
Wow. He just pulled out some, what is that, a retainer slash false teeth mouthpiece?
It's my tooth.
It's your tooth. Yeah,
on a retainer.
On a retainer. Tooth on a retainer.
It's my tooth on a retainer.
That looks natural. We got guys putting in stuff in their mouths and guys pulling out of their mouths here on Central Standard today.
All for the festival.
All for the festival.
All for your entertainment.
All for your entertainment. So do you put that in your mouth while you're jumping them down on a pogo stick?
Yeah. I'm actually getting a real one put in next week. I'm really excited. I've had this thing for about 3 years now.
What is that the result of?
Well, that's probably my worst injury ever. I was doing a group show.
The sword swallower is laughing at me.
Welcome to Medical Emergency Hour.
I'm actually really squeamish. I hate to hear stories of
you just put a nail in your nose.
You don't see
and
me
a sword
watching
down your
sword
throat.
Swallowing.
Right. Tell us about that.
I was doing a group show with a bunch of breakdancers, and they had linoleum on the ground. I didn't think anything of it, like linoleum. But apparently when it gets wet and sweaty, it gets slippery. Didn't think of that. So I landed on the linoleum on the pogo stick, and the tip of the pogo stick slid out. So
the sword swallower is cringing here in the studio, literally. I mean, he's red. He's cringing, red,
honestly,
covering his face. Like, honestly.
Stories like this.
Go ahead.
So it slid out. I came down on my chin. I bit through my lip, knocked out my tooth, chipped off another one of my other front tooth, chipped most of that off, broke my jaw. I don't remember any of this, so it's all right. So I woke up.
You don't remember any.
No, I don't remember any of this. I woke up just kind of looking down and seeing like blood slowly like just dripping over.
Hey, man, swallow a sword. You'll feel better.
So I ended up getting 30 stitches to reattach my lip, 10 in my chin, broke my jaw. I have the fake tooth now, and the front tooth is fake as well.
Wow.
All for the show.
All for the show. What type of, who are you insured by? AIG? What type of insurance do you have to buy in this business?
You have to have some good insurance. Luckily, I'm still on my parents' health insurance, so I'm squeaking by there for another couple of years.
I bet your parents are really excited about paying those premiums.
They're so proud of me.
Speaking of which, are they?
They are. They never would have thought. They bought me a pogo stick when I was 8 years old, when I was a kid for Christmas, and I probably think they thought nothing like this would ever happen. And when I was a teenager, I started working for the pogo company for a little bit. I was doing demos. And since I was under 18, my mom got to travel with me. So she absolutely loved it. And now when I do shows in the nearby areas, they come and watch. Like last weekend, they came out to a festival and watched all the shows. And they're kind of busker groupies.
Does your mom and dad, do they get squeamish like sword swallowing buskers?
They have so many gray hairs for me.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guests are, in order of maybe not importance, but certainly in order, Tom Selectomy, the sword eater and nail hammerer in the noser.
And all-around squeamish dude.
Who gets squeamish when he hears a pogo dude, Fred Grzybowski, talk about some of his more dangerous, hazardous turns as a pogo dude jumping up and down on a pogo stick, doing extreme pogo stick jumping. Ing. Right. Reflexive verb, ing. Ing. Pogo ing. And we have the happy medium.
Yeah.
The interlocutor.
The guy that doesn't do anything like that at all.
The guy that organizes all of the weirdness and wants to keep Lawrence weird, Richard Renner. He's the festival organizer of the Lawrence Busker Festival. Vaudeville, VOD. Is that your new venture?
The Vaudeville Entertainment Company has been my company for over 30 years.
VOD. What's that about?
VOD, V-I-L-L. It fit on my license plate that way.
Right.
That's why it's spelled that way. It was a new wave of vaudeville back when I started it. That's what it was called, New Wave Vaudeville, so I spelled it that way to be different.
What's different about your show in a busking situation versus an actual stage pogo dude?
Shows on the street are just so organic. Like Tom was saying earlier, you're actually creating something out of nothing. There's nothing planned. There's no schedule. You're just out there, and you have to make it happen. You have to get people to stop and make people interested in what you're doing. And it's a very tough thing to do, and some people can't do it, and other it takes a special thing to be able to do that.
What do you see in the Pogo Dudes' future?
We are growing as Pogo Dudes. We're doing more and more shows, more corporate events. We'd love to do, like, halftime shows. So hopefully, in the next couple of years, we're out there doing entertaining thousands of people.
What do you want to be said about Fred the Pogo Dude when you hang up your pogo stick / jackhammer / Segway handlebar?
That's a really good question. I haven't thought that far in the future yet.
Okay. We'll table that. What's it like to do all those TV shows? David Letterman said of the Pogo Dudes, quote, "is the most exciting thing he's seen in all his life."
Seriously. He added seriously at the end of that.
Seriously.
So
right.
Has to be true.
How's it like?
I mean, being on TV is great. I got to be on Leno as well, interacting with him and being on TV. It's an amazing experience. And then, like, all your friends back home watch. And, like, I've really enjoyed it, and I love doing it. I've also been on The View. That was a fun one.
How did that go?
It was absolutely hilarious. They got my name wrong all show. They kept calling me George. not even close.
Like why?
I have no idea. So they thought I was George for about 10 minutes, and it was a lot of fun.
Who was there that day, The View day?
That was a couple years ago.
Was Barbara Walters there?
Yeah, she was there. Whoopi was there.
And then the other people.
And the other people. Yeah, I got to hang out with them and show off my pogo stick into them. Ladies.
Pause.
Insert inappropriate joke here.
Now, Richard Renner.
Yes.
You went to clown and movement school in Philadelphia. So what's your take as a clown and movement enthusiast on this wacky radio hour?
Oh, this wacky radio hour?
What's your take on what's going on so far?
Well, you could use a few more movement around here. Yeah, there we go. Jeff Tom is doing a wall for us now. So, no, I actually love your radio hour. I listen to it all the time.
The sword swallower was just doing miming.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, keep it right here, okay?
Actually,
Jeff,
this won't play on the radio at all, but this is the one thing I learned at Ringling Brothers Banner Bay Clown College that I've brought with me for all these years. It's the ability to make this face.
That doesn't work
like,
on radio
it's
at
like
all.
Joker meets Howdy Doody is the face that
yeah, why
Tom
so serious?
My kids call it the gravy face, because whenever we'd have gravy, we'd go, gravy, gravy!
Speaking of a face, we just got a picture of the Pogo Dude's accident. Check
no,
that out,
hey,
sword dude.
Hey, hey.
Oh, my God.
No,
oh,
no, no.
God.
So describe this. You're on a gurney. Your face is essentially split open. Is this the one where you bit
yeah,
through
that,
your bottom
was
of
the,
your
that was the one I was telling you about. And I actually took that picture myself.
Fred Grabowski, why are you smiling, dude? We're going to put this
can.
Picture up on KCR.
That's all I could do.
That's for the camera.
Why are you smiling?
I had a smile for the camera.
Had a smile so it wouldn't bleed.
I'm really surprised you could tell I was smiling in that picture.
Yeah, you're like delighted. You're like, dude,
yeah,
I just smashed my face with a pogo
imagine
stick.
The morphine had kicked in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, shock is a wonderful.
Point, were you on morphine?
No, I wasn't at that point. So
not until this morning.
So they were rolling me into the hospital, and they kept yelling at me to turn off my phone. I'm like, no, I got to get pictures of this. So I'm like holding my phone as they're rolling me in on the gurney, trying to take pictures with my face like looking like that.
We will have pictures of this on our website at kcur.org later, by the way. Not for the weak of stomach, not for sword swallowers, apparently. Speaking of which, you have Tom Selectomy, another trick.
I'd love to do another trick.
What are we going to do?
I wish that one of the two of you wore glasses, because that would make this much more spectacular.
Richard Renner wears
Richard,
glasses.
Our wonderful director of the festival, our organizer, so to speak, is wearing
the one
glasses.
Who pays you.
Could I? Yes. not after you see what I'm going to do. Can I borrow your eyeglasses for a moment?
He's taking Richard Renner's eyeglasses, the sword swallower is, and he's holding them pensively. He's putting them on.
It's all right. You're not going to see what I do. I just check to see how bad his eyesight.
Notice that he has 1-1 vision.
I'm going to make sure that I look at your.
Oh no! Your oh no!
Okay.
Oh no! I know what he's going to do. Oh God!
He put
my earpiece
up his nose. Oh wow! And it's now going to hand. It's now going to hand them
right
back.
Yeah.
You just
to Richard Renner.
You just turned my earpiece into a nose piece.
And he also put it in his mouth.
He had to clean it off.
He's like, hallelujah, I can see now. No, here's an alcohol swab. You'll want.
Tom selected me, a.k.a. Jeff.
Which one was it?
I need to understand something here.
Yeah.
How is it that you can put a nail in your nose, put it in your mouth, lick it off, but the pogo dude story about getting
just
injured grosses you out?
There's something about people getting hurt that bugs me. Like, just I'll do this as quick as I can. It's really actually a long story. At a Christmas dinner in front of my mother-in-law, my ex-mother-in-law, my wife, my ex-wife, because we all get along really well. We're really blessed with that. And all the families. I was asked to open something that was in a knife sharpener, a sharpening rod that was in that plastic stuff that's horrible that you can't open, you know. And I was opening it with a razor knife. You know, that bubble wrap, not bubble wrap, but that hard plastic. Everything's packaged in these days. And I was opening it, and I live in absolute fear of being cut. So I'm being real careful. Doing it all far away from myself. And then I tried to pull it apart. There was one last little bit that wouldn't go. And I did it over my leg, and I jammed the razor knife into my leg. And because of the force it came down with, it was 2.5 inches deep and an inch and a half wide. And when I went to the ER, and told them, they said, what happened? I said, well, I was opening a knife sharpener with this, and this is what happened. And then for insurance stuff, they said, and what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a sword swallower. And they all laughed at me. The doctor had no.
There's a great bit of irony. That's a day at the office for you, right, Fred Grabowski?
Yeah, I mean, just like any other extreme sport, has its injuries, and I've been sort of similar situations a couple of times.
So, as an extreme sport, are you lobbying, perhaps, to get pogo competitions into competitions such as the X Games?
We actually have our own competition right now called Pogopalooza. It just happened last month. Pogo stick artists from all around the world come compete to be the world champion.
Tell us about some of the events. What are some of the events?
Well, we have Big Air, which is just doing tricks. We have obstacles. We jump off boxes, front flip off, 10-foot perches. It's like any other extreme sport, kind of parkour meets pogo meets skateboarding.
So Big Air is not the corporate cabal that's going to take over Oxygen.
Exactly.
Right. What are the other events?
And then we have a whole day devoted to world records. So we just break world records all day. So I hold 3 different world records, and the pogo dudes hold a total of 10.
As a spectator, how do you view a pogo show without having to have a neck brace?
I mean, it's very organic, and it's kind of thrown together, and it just gives you a natural, you don't know if we're going to get hurt. We're trained, so we're the stuff in the show, it's pretty safe. But I mean, still, everything we do, it's dangerous. Anything could go wrong. So that's what the people like about the show.
Do you do any other extreme sports to kind of take the edge off at all? Skateboard or anything like that?
I never did that. I sucked at everything else. That's why I started pogo sticking.
As I was talking to Fred about who he's going to bring over here for to be the rest of the pogo dudes, he says, well, we're going to have our festival, and we'll have to see who's healthy.
What injuries have you had that have prevented some of the pogo dudes from coming to Lawrence?
One of our guys, he actually sprained his elbow backflipping over a 9-foot bar.
9-foot place where you go to get alcoholic drinks?
Yeah, really.
So we had a high jump bar set up.
Okay.
9 feet tall, and we were having a competition for highest backflip on a pogo stick.
This was just an informal thing.
Yeah, it was at Pogopalooza.
Oh, it was at Pogopalooza.
Organic.
Part of Pogopalooza.
Organic. Okay.
So,
and you wonder why you get hurt.
I know, right? It surprises me every day.
So the backflip happened?
He flipped over, but over-rotated his backflip and landed straight on his arm, sprained his elbow. He was originally going to come here, but he's been taking it easy the last couple of weeks.
Any pogo dudettes out there?
None that I know of right now.
That's so surprising.
I know, right? It's such a girl's sport. Like, big.
No, don't.
Not going there.
Right. Let's stay on.
Caught
this
myself
side of the,
right there.
Yeah,
caught
let's
myself.
Stay on this side of the extreme
yeah.
sports.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. I would like to see more girls get involved.
Do girls actually like watching the pogo dudes?
Girls love it. I mean, we have guys doing acrobatics, and it keeps us in shape. Like, this is not an
right,
easy thing
right.
to
it
do.
Right,
so.
It does. Your core is pretty ripped.
Thank you.
Like a sword swallower did something to it. I got nothing.
The sword swallower, on the other hand, is not very fit.
Jeff?
Those aren't fat food
You're
swords.
An entity of your own.
Oh.
You're an entity of yourself.
I am.
You are.
But I'm both.
You are.
I am both.
You're all.
We are.
Let's talk about the Busker
there
Festival.
There we go. Pause. So what are we expecting differently with this fifth annual Busker Festival?
Well, I guess differently, just a whole lot more is what you could expect differently. We've also got a wonderful Japanese one-man band kind of musician coming in named Shabbaton Spirits, who does an incredible amount of music all by himself. And, you know, I was just looking at the forecast, and they are forecasting rain. And I want to alert everyone that our official policy about rain is that we let it, and then we go on. And that's the other part about street performing, man, is you just handle whatever comes.
So if you have rain with the pogo sticks, how do you adjust?
It just makes things a little more dangerous, the way we like it.
There you go.
Exactly the way you like it.
There you go.
By the way, I will not come to the festival dressed as a Teletubby, as you requested, Richard Ring. not gonna do that real quick. Really quickly, as we close here, you have a circus naked midget story. Can you give us the abbreviated version?
Oh, no.
Well, when I was on the circus, we were playing somewhere in Alabama, and we were all sitting outside the sleeper one night. We were all young guys, not making a lot of money, and we were drinking, of course. Nothing good. But there was this big bridge that went over a river nearby, and we were all saying, I'd jump off that for this and this and this and that. And it ended up that the midget was willing to do it. He went up there, he took off all of his clothes and stood there over the railing, leaning out, wouldn't jump. All these cop cars showed up real quick. They said, what are you doing on that side of the railing? He said, I'm just going to see how deep it is. And the cop said, get back over here. And he said, I was just going to see how deep it is. And the cop said, you boys are from the circus, aren't you? You get back on down there, don't bother anybody else tonight.
That is the essence of the Lawrence Busker Festival. We have Tom Selectomy, the Sword Swallower. We have Fred from the Pogo Dudes and Richard Renner, the Lawrence Busker Festival organizer. What are the dates for the Busker Festival?
August 24th through the 26th.
Thank you very much for coming, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as the food critics set the table for a discussion on delectable delights. Our show is produced by Andrea Salinzi, executive produced by Bill Anderson. Kim Noble is our announcer. Emily Mutert manages our website. Central Standard's intro theme music is by Miles Bonney, and the outro is by the Will Knotts. Up to Date is up next with the Ethics Professors. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.